Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, wow, man. A lot has gone on within the last 7 days. I don't think, in my recollection, you can say that you've been more successful or busy in the past almost two decades.
You know, there's so much, obviously, that has happened since we started FSW in 2009, but it was, you know, mark it down in the history books, you know, Saturday, January 24th, 2026, our job was to go out and show, you know, Mark, the CEO of the HyperX Arena, a guy who vaguely knew wrestling. He trusted Kyle, who is a huge wrestling fan. You know, we need to do this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great. And, you know, we've had meetings. I met with them Tuesday and Wednesday, and he didn't know what to expect. And, you know, it was a slam dunk. It's amazing what came out of the meetings after the conversation on Wednesday is we now have full access to that place. Sure. You know, March 28th, we have a show set in stone. WrestleMania week, which was up in the air until we produced, is a done deal. We're going to be there that Thursday, April 16th. I got Title Match Network coming in after us. Friday, we have a major opportunity with what I just saw, the brand new MLW heavyweight champion, Killer Cross. Yeah. And yeah, he won the Battle Riot yesterday.
Yes.
Yep. And we're looking toward a very, very bright future. You know, to say that we now have a residency on the Las Vegas Strip, that is confirmed. They're asking us for dates every single month. They were so impressed with our makeshift production that they are now giving us full access to their $20 million production.
Jesus.
And starting next week, we're going to have our guys in there learning their equipment. So they were very, very helpful in terms of letting us use some of their stuff. But now we have a 12-camera video shoot that we will have access to.
Nice.
And, yeah. You know, nobody's got a bigger smile on his face right now than Mikey. That is now going to be able to use their front of the line equipment. And the guy Gabe there, their chief engineer, he's an ex-boxer, was excited about our event, and like he was running around. He was like me, but he had no reason to be right. Running around making sure, like, hey, let's get that Chris Bay shot. There's no camera on him. He ran into the VIP suite with his own camera to do stuff. And I've never had a partner. And, you know, it's great that they let us all use the place. And we got March 8th at the Silverton. But nobody has said, what can we do to make everybody succeed more?
Right.
And the CEO, Mark, is like, I had to send him information and trying to get numbers. And, you know, how do we get more sponsors involved? Because they're an esports company that run major events with Microsoft. And Progressive is a sponsor for some of their events. And he's trying to figure out a way to get these people involved with us.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Which, you know, ups everything. And bottom line is we did this without any outside talent.
Right.
When I say outside talent, I'm talking about outside talent that's FSW talent. I'm talking the Hammerstones and the Crosses, and Any Limelight and TJP and guys that we've used over the years. But as they grew, we didn't use them as often because of budgetary issues. You know, love to use Kevin everything, you know, but it's just not financially feasible.
Right.
And we are now in a position that many, many big things could happen. You know what I mean? It was a great show. It was a great crowd. You know, we had a food and drink guarantee that we quadrupled.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were extremely happy. You know, I learned some different things that I forgot, you know, like, hey, the food that got eaten, fantastic, but it was through the public house. So they only get a percentage of that, the HyperX, you know, they rely on the drinks. So, right. You know, we discussed different things, you know, drink specials and signature drinks and maybe after the wrestlers. And he gave us a cup and he told Mikey to design a little thing. And now I don't even know yet. You know, maybe it's going to be an FSW, you know, all you can drink cup at the show for X amount of dollars and things like that. But, you know, the VIP suites were cooking. Your boy Glenn King, not happy. I put him on the stage. You weren't allowed to drink or eat. So him and Red Cup ran back up to the VIP suites where they ate and drank, which, of course, you want them to eat and drink. And, you know, the only negative is there's only so many seats that could sit on the floor. So, hey, we'll expand the stage area to a second row and try to maximize. But because of what they're doing for us on the venue charge, it's much easier for us because the budget is bigger.
Yeah.
We're going in there and we got the clean slate. And as I said, we met Tuesday, we met Wednesday, and, you know, sky's the limit. And it's like, you can't go look at a TNA show and say, oh, what a way better room that is than what FSW's got. If somebody's got a better room to run a wrestling show than FSW right now, that isn't WWE or, you know, AEW in those giant arenas. It's like our arena's smaller, but it matches up to everything.
Right.
That WWE has access to.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, that's a 50-foot video wall next to two video walls. You know what I mean? And it's like, how great does everything look in there? And it's like now we're not having to bring in our little stuff, which, you know, we were overachievers since day one when it came to the production.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's like now somebody is giving us, hey, yeah, sure, use our stuff. Like, what? You know, it reminded me of the days when we were at the Rio and we looked at their arena and it was like they had everything in there. And it's like, man, if we could get in there to do that.
Right. Well,
you know, this one has a much better structure because it was craziness over at the Rio and
right.
You know, bounce checks and not running show. It was all, you know, weird over there, you know, money laundering. Who knows what the hell was going on? You know, with these guys, it's like, hey, what about doing the after party with Layla Gray and Chris Bay? Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Hey, what about doing this or with a comedy thing? Oh, yeah, that's good. And it's like, the Hall of Fame ceremony, you know, plans right now are for the anniversary show to be there and it'd be a 2-night event. And what if we did a 2-night event like we did a Diversion back in the day? We have so much talent. Can we do something where, hey, it's $50 for front row, but hey, buy both days and it's 75.
Right.
And then because we have that talent. There's so many guys that weren't able to be on this show. And that's counting having a 5-way scramble and having a guy who's been with me since day one, Remy Marcel, basically in the kickoff pre-show match.
Right.
Yep. And we had to add Maserati, and that became a four-way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was, you know, we saw Duke Lawrence, but he wasn't on the show, and he's the number one contender.
Yeah.
And Jay Vidal and Bateman had to force their way onto the show.
Right. Yep.
So it's like, man, we got No Escape March 8th. And, you know, we definitely got to focus on that, because it's easy to lose focus when, you know, this thing is happening. And it's like Mania week, you know, they're going to have to go through me to possibly get on a show out there. You know, they aren't going to just bring anybody in. They trust Joe. Joe's earned their trust. FSW came in, you know, we helped him out, did things. It's like, oh, don't be touching the chairs, you know, or, you know, I maneuvered him and things like that. But, like, they take care of their venue. You're using our venue. What do we need to do to help you? And it's just like, man, it's mind-boggling. Hey, you know, Kyle's about ready to give me a basic parking pass, like, I can hang out at the Luxor whenever I want. Like, hey, when are you coming by? They're doing they invited us to come check out the Rumble on the screen, you know, but because we have a show at 5, and plus the fact it's 10 in the morning, you know. Right. But even I had thought about doing that, which is something we'll do moving forward, is probably the Sunday have a WrestleMania watch party there.
Right.
You know, and maybe, you know, some of the pay-per-views, hey, come on down, eat and drink, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking about multiple events of FSW, but what could we do there? Podcast, talking about doing a podcast with Chris Bay there. I'm like, you know, they're all for it. And it's like, but they want numbers. And I'm like, hey, no offense, but Joe DeFalco ain't going to bring you 10,000 views on a podcast. But maybe if Chris Bay wanted to do something and he was behind it, that's a possibility, you know? So there's so many different things that late night shows, you know, I think a wrestling show every week on the Strip geared toward the tourists. You know, when I've talked about, you know, the Hustler Club back in the day and trying to do that 21 and over type show, like, hey, what kind of show? And I always joke about, you know, the Splat Pack and Santana Jackson. And even in the meeting, throwing it around, you know, hey, what about, you know, what about this tag team? And they're the Green Man Group. You know what I mean? It's like, there's so many different things that, like when I brought up Slammy Davis Jr. to the CEO, he laughed. He's like, oh, that's funny. Right. And it's like the idea is what can we do to bring the tourists that are roaming around the Luxor? Everybody's looking for something to do. That's why they got that play game now where you go in and you pay a couple bucks. And I looked at it with the wife the other day, and it was like a fun little thing to do. And people need also affordable things to do while they're in Vegas. And if we have access, you know, I had a couple that I met. We had one of our students, Asha, was out there. Hey, wrestling show, come on in. Tickets start at 20 bucks, blah, 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 blah. And they walked in, and I just happened to be the one who saw them in the thing. And they were kind of looking around. I'm like, hey, how you doing? How can I help you? Oh, yeah, you know, the lady up front. You know, we got tickets for the Blue Man Group, so we decided to stop in. They bought 2 GA tickets. They went to the bar. They bought a couple of drinks. And then I happened to see them before they left for their show. And they were like, hey, we wish we could have stayed longer. You know, we had a lot of fun. This was great. You know, he was from Jersey, and, you know, they knew old school wrestling, but they don't watch it. They don't go to any shows like that. And they're like, hey, you're going to do this often? And have you been doing this? And it's like, well, we've been doing it for 17 years. This is our first show here, and it seems like it's being a huge success. So we expect to be here. It's like, oh, yeah, we come to Vegas pretty often. You know, definitely would love to check out a show.
Right.
Boom. Here's my card. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like now we have access. And the other thing Mark said, hey, give us a 15-second video. And we're going to play it throughout the Luxor because they have the rotation system. They're right. going to pull the HyperX commercial at least a week before ours show and put it in. Now, I don't know. Is it the Luxor? Or is it all the MGM properties? Because I know when I drive past the MGM, it says go check out Carrot Top at the Luxor. So who's to say that's not playing in the small screens everywhere? Right. And now we have access. There's, you know, even just say at the Luxor, there's thousands of people that go through there every day.
Right.
Yep. You know, if 0.1% of them are wrestling fans and are in town, well, now maybe we got an extra 20, 30 people. But guess right. what? It only seats, you know, 500 standing room only. You know, we're going to maneuver some chairs. And we had close to 400, and that was a show that was a test run. And right. all our fans, as usual, and came out and supported, and I talked to as many people as I could. I met, you know, I Facebook messaged as many people as I could, and everything was as positive as can be. You know, some of the most minor things. Hey, we ordered food from the bartender, but we never knew when it was ready because he's running around doing his stuff. And right. it's like, you know, stuff that easily can be worked on. And I've never seen a group of people, the staff that were there, as yeah. attentive and like the higher ups making sure their people took care of business.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, you know, this is the same company that is running, you know, a Microsoft Excel 3-day thing where they're probably getting $250,000. Right. They really, you know, yeah, every business needs business, obviously. But to pay their rent, you know, FSW is not even, you know, a blip on the radar. But it gives an opportunity for their staff when they have just gaming there and there's not really much going on at all. Now they got themselves, you know, 15 events a year.
Right.
Just from the wrestling. Let's see what else we can bring to the table. So, right. you know, if anybody's out there, you know, and you have any thoughts, because you know, we're looking at different things in the video gaming world. And it's like, you know, modern day, like, hey, maybe we have our tournaments there with our wrestlers coming in and doing things. And it's like, what can we continually bring? They had their if you go on Netflix, they had the hot dog eating contest. If you look at it, it was from the HyperX Arena. Right. So they do multiple events. So if right. they can do that, we could be a part of these things to right. where FSW is now there for these events, and we can mingle with the influencers and right. and the CEO there. You know, he's, you know, his Rolodex is filled with everybody,
right?
You know, I have a good Rolodex for wrestling people,
right?
He has a great Rolodex for business people, influencers. You know, he was talking about, you know, what he had to pay, and it was like, holy shit, like they're doing these events and they're getting the influencers involved, and they're, oh yeah, we had to pay this guy, you know, $70,000 for 4 events. It's like, holy fuck. And now they're also talking about doing one by the UFC complex. So, you know, we're in. Now right. it's our job to continue to produce. Now the hunger begins. It's like we go out there and it's like, man, how do we make this better? We set a standard. We can't right. drop from that standard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the things he posted this week was this little throwback flyer here of Hyperstrict versus Kenny King from way back when. Was that
10 years ago?
Yeah. 10 years ago.
And he's like, why'd you post it now? I'm like, dude, it just showed up on my memory. If it showed up before the show, I would have put it up.
So when you look at that, and then, of course, you know, you look at what we had this past Saturday. Was it a fitting send-off to Kenny after all these years? And, you know, how hard will it be for Kenny to make his way back? You know, will we see Kenny in a ring again?
I can't see why not. You know, Kenny's a legend, but Kenny has always been a guy that we put him in positions and pick and choose. You know, he right. You know, he's done a lot for this business. He's done huge things for FSW, but Kenny has always been that special attraction guy.
Yeah.
And thankfully, and again, this was an idea of mine, like, hey, we're doing a thing on the strip. You know, I found out in November at Luck of the Draw when we had Kenny on the show that he was going to be leaving and didn't know exactly when. And then when we got in December, because it wasn't until Luck of the Draw that I even found out about possibility with the HyperX. That's when Kyle hit me up because it was about the one night with Cross.
Right.
And then as we put things together, my thought was Kenny's my first champion ever. Kenny's the guy that I came to when we needed help with the school. And he's the Chippendale dancer. He's the UNLV football player. He is the OG, you know. Everybody knows the Godfather. He was from Vegas. He ran Cheetahs, blah, 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 blah. But right. For modern day wrestling, you know, Kenny King was the epitome of Las Vegas. How do I not do a show on the strip and have Kenny at the forefront of that?
Right.
Which becomes the big thank you also for the guy. And it's like my current heavyweight champion was pretty much trained by Kenny King.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when the young pup got the match with Kenny King that I put together. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, right. We needed a match for the Silverton. You know, let's put in Hyper Streak. So, you know, that's the full circle moment that it took 10 years, obviously. But for the old time fans, you know, it's that remembrance thing, you know, and you, hey, it's the nod to something like that. And you're always looking for that because, you know, everything is based on everything that happened before. You know, yeah. You know, I saw some idiot claiming that Logan Paul stole something. And of course somebody was like, yeah, you know, 10 years before Logan Paul, I mean, you know, yeah, 10 years before Logan Paul did it, that you claimed you did it a year and a half ago, it was done this way by that person. You didn't invent nothing. You know, I always joke when we had Cross get in the ring and while he was wrestling, he was also commentating. And literally a month later, I believe it was Sheamus, did the same exact thing on SmackDown. It was like, oh, they stole it from FSW. But I already know I stole it from seeing somebody else do it years ago.
Right.
But nobody remembers that. Hey, let's go the ode to the finish. I remember one time we had Legacy versus Funny Bone and we did the finish with the Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude, and people are like, oh, that was a really great finish. It's like, yeah, go watch Rude. And, you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan was hiding and grabbed the leg and held it down. And it's like, you always remember certain things growing up. That kind of reason why, if you want to be a booker in wrestling, you probably should know wrestling. You should know the history and the past and going through things.
Right.
And, you know, we want to make moments and hopefully, you know, this is a moment, you know, we can build upon And it's a great moment because, yes, FSW is the first local wrestling company in Las Vegas history. Not only, yeah, has there been a company that did a show on the Strip? Yeah, in the ballroom, we did something with Klein Rock with Psychosis versus Jacob Austin Young.
Sure.
The Collective is going to be on the Strip. Yeah, right. In a ballroom. You know, we're on the main floor, motherfuckers.
Right. Yeah.
This is a residency. Congratulations to us. That's what hard work does.
Yeah.
You know, but as hard a work that as I do, still didn't think it was going to happen.
Right.
Because I've seen what they want for the fucking ballrooms on the Strip.
Right.
You know, people wanting $8,000 and $10,000. To run a show.
Yep.
And, Booker can't even do Sam's Town for less than 8,000.
Right. And we saw, you know, Booker came in, ran the show once on the Strip, you know,
in a ballroom.
Exactly.
Where they paid more than we would have paid to be at the Silverton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess it was in the MGM on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
In a room that nobody in the world knows is there unless they were coming to the show.
Right.
Shit, we didn't even know where it was. We had to fucking walk around to find it. So, you know, we've made history. And I'm still, you know, numb from just everything that they've done for us.
Yeah.
You know. And it's like, man, thank you. It's kind of like when Hammerstone's thanking me for the Sharp match. Like, thank you. Thank me. You fucking nuts. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, now I'm very disappointed that we still got to wait 2 more months to come back.
Sure. 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 But it also gives that... that build time in terms of being able to prep and utilize more of what can be offered.
It gives you time to lock in Hammerstone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Or the MLW champ. So
I didn't realize the show was on Thursday. I messaged him yesterday. Hey, I had to think, blah, blah, blah. He didn't message me back, which, you know, Kevin's usually pretty good about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he was at MLW yesterday, which Zamaya wrestled and she beat Carolina Cruz on the show.
Yeah.
Hammerstone beat the former Baron Corbin on the show.
Yep.
Our other boy, Austin Aries, won.
Yeah.
My guy, Simon Gotch, was in the Battle Riot. And like, man, what an FSW reunion, because we've also talked with Mr. Cross. And there is a good possibility. I'm putting it out there. You know, you got to get that. What does my kid usually say? What's that word? You know,
the juju out there.
No, you know, when you try to make something happen to the universe.
Karma. The good.
You're old. You don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Manifest. Yep.
Manifest. That's the hip new kid word? Manifest?
Manifesting. You know, not the manifest destiny, but that's what they talk about. Oh, you got to manifest it to the universe. That's the terminology that's being used. So the discussion is about, is it possible we can do natural born killers?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Kevin, you got to understand one thing. I said to him, I'm like, as big as GCW is, they take over Vegas as part of the secondary wrestling market.
Right.
They're not, you know, they're going to get WWE fans, but all wrestling fans come to that. And the secondary market of GCW, which is big, you know, I love GCW, but you're a guy who is a mainstream superstar.
Right.
There's no way we can't get the maximum 500 people in there for a Natural Born Killer show presented by Killer Cross.
Oh, and you can probably also get, I don't know, maybe a Zoe Stark if she's healthy by then.
I doubt it because Natalia. She's going to be in
But you know that they've lent those people over, you know.
Yes, but would WWE lend them to a Cross presented show?
I think they could.
I'm just saying that there still might be some it might be awfully warm in that room there.
We'll see. We'll see if Cross is even available if he doesn't show up tomorrow in Saudi Arabia.
Boy, that would sure be a late thing by winning the MLW title. That would be a pretty big swerve from Thursday night being in Florida to showing up on Saturday
morning. Speaking of showing up, you know, one of the things that you pointed out on social media was that Steve Corino dropped by, which is always nice to see.
Well, here's a quick story again. It's amazing. It's like they should follow me around on cameras because there's always a story. So I'm on Facebook on probably Friday scrolling down, and I see Steve Corino post, "Hey, in Vegas with the girl watching the Eagles at the Sphere." I'm like, "Ah, that's crazy. Steve Corino's in Vegas on Friday." And I'm thinking, hey, I should hit him up, you know, see if he wants to come to the show Saturday. But I'm doing a million things. And then all of a sudden, Jay Vidal comes in. He's like, "Man, I swear I saw Steve Corino checking out at the Luxor. That motherfucker looks just like him." I'm like, "You know what, Jay? It's possible it was Steve Corino." So I go look for his phone number. And it's like, fuck, I could swear I had Steve Corino's phone number. No, it's because we're Facebook friends and we have talked in the past about Hammerstone when he came for the tryout years ago. You know, he did the seminar. And I always tell people the best seminar that I've ever witnessed was Steve Corino's. And I always say I was never a big fan of Steve Corino. He was a guy who always bled in ECW. Dusty Rhodes fucked him up. I hate Steve Corino. Didn't know him, but it was like, all right, as a wrestler, like, this motherfucker just bleeds. That's all he fucking does. And it's ECW. So needless to say, we have the seminar. He's like, I said, if I was in college and I was a wrestling fan, like, I would know everything about the business if I went to Professor Corino's course. That's how great he was in that seminar. And it's like, chop off three fingers and you can count how many seminars I can consider like, oh man, this is like totally amazing, you know? So I can send them the message and I'm like, somebody said that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, we have a show. And he was like, where's it at? He's like, I'm like, the HyperX Arena at the Luxor. He's like, oh, I'm eating at a place that I can see the sign from here. And then all of a sudden, I'm running around, and I didn't even know because he had already gone upstairs, and Kenny's like, oh, yeah, we took a picture, which we saw later, and he came around, but he was right by near the entranceway, and right before I was about to go on, we started talking for a while, and it was like, I was sat with him during some of the matches. He was like, hey, who's this guy? I'm like, oh, that's Shogun, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh, he's a good boy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, you know, he'd be a good guy to have around. He has, you know, a story that is really worth telling. It was like 10 months ago, we thought he was going to have brain damage and we didn't even know if he was going to live. He's like, really? And like, yeah. So I was trying to give the rub to Shogun and he's like, he was really fucked up, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Steve's awesome. And he's hung out. He had like an 11:50 flight or 10:50 flight. So he had a bail, but he stayed for a good amount, went upstairs, talked to some people. And, you know, even talked about, you know, the ID guys. Oh, I love Oasis and Ice. Yeah, I can't believe they got rid of them and that. Blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, Steve Corino's awesome.
Yeah. And we'll just go off of that. And this picture that you posted, a little Dominic Mysterio tune-up, it looks like, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Due to the Dom's been out. And he's had some injury issues, so he wanted to he asked me, he's like, hey, when do you have a regular class? Like, I want to kind of roll around in it if possible. And Kenny was supposed to be there. I guess he didn't show up. Thank God Sharp was there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we didn't need, you know, Beans running the class for Dominic, so... Thankfully, we had the big gun, the heavyweight champion in the house. And of course, it's like, so if you look at TV class and if you looked at Dominic's there, because I was contemplating, do I let everybody know Dominic's going to be there? Right. Because I want to let everybody know, because if they see him and then they start being Marky Mark and the Funky Bunches and they're all trying to take pictures, it's like, this guy's here for business. So it's right. Like, hey, Dominic Mysterio is going to be on hand. Act like fucking professionals. I know you're fucking oohing and ahhing and things like that.
Right.
So, but, you know, for the most part, everybody was pretty respectful. Dom was super cool. You know, I was finishing up my meeting at the HyperX and Kyle, of course, because he's a huge wrestling fan. Oh, Dominic's going to be there. I'm like, yeah, come on in. We'll get a picture for you. And he was in, you know, he posted it and he was excited. And, you know, he invited him to the Rumble thing if he was going to be around. And he's like, what time is it? 10 in the morning. He's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. So I think, you know, spoiler, I think Dom might be watching the Rumble on a tape delay.
Yeah.
I think he might be going to the button and saying, start from the beginning.
Right.
Now, was that on Peacock?
No, that's on ESPN.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So there you go. So I thought I was going to be able to watch it when I woke up. So the only way I could watch it is I have to go to the HyperX Arena.
Well, there you go. Give me an excuse to go to the HyperX.
Yeah, it's just at 10 because we've got the kids class at noon and then we got Future Shock at 5. So... Yeah. I might have to be a Steve Corino, show up for an hour.
Right. And you just said it, Future Shock, on the 31st, 5 p.m. One of the announced matches here, Jaden Cole versus Ricky Tenacious. Man, Jaden Cole, the five-way did exactly what that match needed to do, man. Jaden ended up looking like $1 million, man.
Yeah, you know, and that was the thing with that is a lot of different dynamics. Shogun looked like a monster.
Yeah.
It's good to see Adrian Quest back, you know, Damian Drake back into the single stuff, you know. Yeah. Bryce Saturn, tremendous. Yeah. But the key was a lot of experience in that match, yeah, other than Jaden Cole. Now, how is he going to fit in with the former heavyweight champion Shogun, former No Limits, former, you know, tag team champion Damian Drake, Bryce Saturn, a former, but Bryce Saturn's a guy we know who's killed it with Ice and killed it with Sharp, and, you know, he's wrestled really good people, and, you know, Jaden Cole, without a doubt, you know, I just got word he had wrestled last week. Remy was like, him and Devin Reno killed it. And he's got all the attributes necessary. And it's, yep, and it's more than the attributes of wrestling. It's the attributes of mindset.
Yeah.
Which... Yep. Has seen many a person falter despite the physical abilities. Right. And Jaden Cole seems to have a very good head on his shoulders. And that's going to take you a lot further than just being a good wrestler. So,
oh yeah. 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 And the way that everything came together, Bryce Saturn and Jaden Cole. That'd be something to see down the line.
Well, you're not going to have to wait very often, because on February 13th, the first match signed is Jaden Cole versus Bryce Saturn.
Nice.
So, you know, things people see coming out of that match.
Yeah.
You know, that is where we need to go in that one, because that has title ramifications for the winner of that match.
Sure.
You know, Bryce looked solid, didn't get pinned. Now let's do the one-on-one where, you know, hopefully we got a winner.
Right. And speaking of title, we got San Lu now with both Nevada State and the why can't I think of the other?
No limits.
Oh my God. So what happens now? How is that going to work? Is there going to be a title vacation? Is there going to be a title merger? What's going on?
The plan is he has two titles, and I'm pretty sure Jordan Oasis is going to try to influence into getting a rematch, which is deserving for a guy who had just lost a back and forth match that San Lu won. But the plan is he will, you know, if he continues to win matches, the idea is some matches will be for the Nevada State title and some matches will be for the heavyweight, will be for the Nevada State title. Nevada State, no limits. It depends on that situation.
Have you ever done what they did at WrestleMania 2000 with the IC and the European belts both in the same match? So you had one pinfall for one belt and then the other pinfall for the other belt?
I didn't realize that's what it was. I didn't.
So when Angle lost both of the belts in that match in WrestleMania.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, we've never had a singles double champion. You know, we had back in the day Graves and Hammerstone being the tag champions. And then crazy enough, one was the heavyweight champion and one was the Nevada State champion.
Right.
So it was, so if Graves wrestled, obviously the tag titles weren't on the line. And if Hammer wrestled singles, the tag. Now it's like, okay, where are we going with this? Because he's in Nevada State and no limits.
Right.
What title will this be for? And, it's still in the discussion stages on exactly where we're going. So we'll figure that out. February 13th will be San Lu is on the show. Now we're starting to put together the show.
Yeah. With that, another question regarding that. Do you think that that he would be up for defending both belts on a show? Would that be a possibility?
Two separate matches, you mean?
Yeah, two separate matches. And does the envelope get any heavier at that point?
Well, see, as again, probably not on the same show, because we have so much talent. To have Hiro Lu work twice, I don't know if it's necessary. But if we decide on the anniversary to do back-to-back nights, why couldn't he defend on Friday night and defend on Saturday night?
Right. So an anniversary show could be,
a two-night extravaganza.
Yeah.
So, I saw our guy Beans posted something about Triple H. That thing went up so quick, I didn't see. It was something about WrestleMania 18. There we go.
Yeah, that's when, remember, it's when the WWF and the WCW had been unified.
Gotcha. So there you go.
Yeah.
That was 24 years ago. I can't believe Beans knows that. He was 3 years old. He was watching it live and he was like three.
That's the stuff you remember in life. You know, title changes and defenses when you're
100%.
All right. So titles, boy. So Avecitos just ended up sliding out of there with those tag titles, man. And Mariachis, God, we say it every week, but how the hell are those guys more over than like anything else that I can think of right now? It's unreal.
Well, thanks to our new commissioner, Chris Bay, he has a major announcement to announce about the tag team titles for No Escape on March 8th at the Silverton. Two. There you go. I was close.
Awesome. So we'll have an announcement coming from Chris, which is, by the way, great to see Chris in an active role now. This is phenomenal, man. Just so cool. And
again, that was, you know, part of, hey, this is a special show. We need to have some special moments. So,
yeah,
you know, so there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, obviously, at No Escape. G Sharp will be defending against Duke Lawrence. Yep. And it's easy enough to say it is for the heavyweight championship. So, yes, that will be inside the steel cage.
Can you make that one where to win the match, you have to escape the steel cage over it? I just want to see Duke climb the cage.
No, I think you actually want to see if Duke gets on top of the cage that he doesn't crush it. And now we owe to Birdie for all the fencing because he fucking broke the shit.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, just to see Duke maneuver on that cage and not for that thing to just go.
Hey, who's to say he doesn't want to do a top of the cage splash on G Sharp? I guarantee you, if he hits that, he will be the new heavyweight champion.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that G Sharp will never have had anything like that in his life come down on him.
You know, thankfully, crap. It'll be the last match because there's a good possibility the boards will break and we can have a big show Lesnar moment right there.
Jesus. Oh, man. Big boy, man. Big boy. What'd you think of the women's match? Of course, Maserati worked into that match as well.
Yeah, you know, with Fallen and Taylor York, we have two definite high potentials. Yeah. You know, they're good, but we know they're going to be better. They've already improved tenfold from when they first started. And to be honest with you, they were Future Shock talent.
Yeah.
Who've kind of maneuvered their way into main roster spots. You know, Fallen did the ultimate. She moved to Vegas to train with us because her number one issue was she didn't really have training place to go where she lived. You know, Dom's was way too far. She couldn't drive 3 hours every day to go train or, you know, whatever. And he's not going to accept somebody who's you know, if you wrestle with Dom, you can't be wrestling in her home base.
Right.
Because whatever that those things are. So needless to say, she said, screw it. I'm coming to Vegas. I can get my work in. You know, I see her there as much or more than 90% of the people that come to the school.
Yeah. Yep.
Putting in the work. She's got her notebook, takes notes. She listens well. You know, she wants to get better. She wants to be elite. And that's the thing. There's a lot of people who want to be on shows.
Right.
There's a lot of people who say they want to be in WWE or AEW or they want to make it in professional wrestling. But if you watch their actions, you know there's no chance in hell and they're content at where they're at.
Right.
Hey, where you been? I've been training. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I got to work. Okay, well, you know, I get that you have to work and you got to pay your bills. So, but you're not able to maneuver anything to be here more than one day a week. Like you're struggling to get on cards, and you might get on Future Shock, but you're probably not really on the main shows. But yeah, you're stagnant. You're not going to magically get better because you worked one Future Shock a month. You're going to get better because you're going to have 50 practice matches over a month,
right?
With a hell of a lot of great talent that's in that building.
Yeah.
Every day you're going to walk in and, hey, there's the Nevada State and No Limits champion Hiro Lu, and there's Shogun, and there's Ice, and there's Oasis, and there's Damian Drake, and there's this, and there's Bay, and there's that. And it's like, there's all these people that are there, and you're mixed in with a lot of young talent that are all hungry,
right?
That are all trying to get on the shows. And then you got the Jaden Coles and the Foxes and the AJs and the Davions and the Demirs and all these cats that feel they're very deserving to be on the HyperX show or a Silverton show, and not just be on because it's a battle royal or a rumble match. A lot of these guys, you're not, and it ain't a glass ceiling. You're just hitting a wall, because look at them. Look at the talent that was on the show. It was like, okay, 8 matches times 2 is 16, tag match, make it 20, a scramble. We got 25 guys. Where are you at on those 25 guys? And it's like, wow. Look at the top 10. You know, look at guys who aren't in the top 10 for a ranking. Because, man, you know, Ice got a match with Sharp after he cashed in and won, and then lost after he got cashed in on. And now he's involved with stuff with somebody else. But it's like, he's kind of far away from that heavyweight championship title picture. Because you got Bateman, who still hasn't really gotten an opportunity. He's got the case, but he's a top guy. And, you know, Duke didn't get an opportunity, and he's the number one contender. And so now we know we got to get him on. And it's like, okay, at No Escape, there'll probably be about 7 or 8 matches. And you got lights out like Bodie, you know, Luke Curtis got the win back. You know, where are we going with that? Luke Curtis has really earned himself a top position, to where when you're one of these younger guys and you're looking at who's ahead of you, Luke Curtis wasn't even around.
Right.
The guy 8 months ago. But guess what? He's been doing this 11, 12 years. He isn't some new cat who just jumped you. He's a guy who's been putting in the work and putting in the time. And he comes in, he's already elevated ahead of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, for a kid like Demir, who's a young kid, thank God Fresco and Watson want him to be in the faction, because it's kind of incorporated him into even being a part of the HyperX show. You know, he tried to help, and it kind of cost him the match. So I don't know where the hell that's going to lead to, but he got to be on the show.
Right. Yep. And got a big nice splash off there from the top rope there in the melee at the end when everyone came out to help Kenny. So, you know,
what do you mean? If I watched on Title Match Network, I don't know what even you're talking about. The last thing I saw was Duke decimating Sharp and Kenny King. What do you mean?
Well, Joe,
you're like an alternate universe.
The reality of the dark part of the show, you know.
Yes, for our fans only,
right?
You know, the live feed, unfortunately, the pay-per-view time must have went off the air, I guess, from what I understand.
Yeah, it got late on the East Coast, you know. People had to go to bed.
You know, because, right, usually we're doing an 8 o'clock start at the Silverton on the East Coast.
On the East Coast, right.
So, yeah, yep. You know, it was 1:30 in the morning, you know, hopefully on title match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. So, again, Full Tilt now is going to be around the corner, April 15th through the 19th. Looks like there'll be some announcing going on as things kind of shape up now with that. But one of the things that you did announce is that tickets will be on sale for the ID Showcase.
Yeah, I got to talk with Gabe, see where we're going to go with that, try to put together the meet and greets and everything. I guess Gabe on the Instagram, because I couldn't find it, Mikey had to send me, he put over the showcase show and, you know, sure made it seem like we might be seeing some big wigs coming to the strip.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, they really are paying more attention to this stuff, you know, from top to bottom, which is awesome to see. Man, if you have it in that little space, there'll be a lot of you might lose Mikey.
You know, those VIP suites might have to be on hold for certain people.
Yeah, they're gonna snatch up the production talent, dude, and that's gonna be it. All right.
What do you mean? He'll be grandfathered in. You know what I mean? It'll be like, you know, we'll make sure that he has to be here for X amount of shows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly how it would work. Future Shock again is this Saturday at 5 p.m. At the FSW Arena. Any other matches outside of Ricky and Jaden?
Oh yeah, we got the card set. C4, first responders, Dave Mazzani. I think he's going to be out saving some people and fires that day. He's not able to make that show. C4 is going to wrestle Oliver Kanaday of the Crusade after they've had their issues. Yeah. Davion Jacot and Adrian Rain will have their third matchup on Future Shock after what went down. They've split their two matches. A man who's made a living in Mexico, AAA, Steve Payne, has come to FSW. He had taken some time off, and he lives here now, and we've reached an agreement. And he's going to take on one of our fan favorites from Future Shock, Warren Moore.
Nice.
And then the new tag team of JKM and Dante King, they're going to take on a hot tag team that's really been proving themselves. So this is a big match for both teams. The Chingon Cartel of Enrique Calderon and the former Flyboy, now known as Freddy Cordova. So... Yep. You know, we're excited. If you put that flyer up, I think there's what else do we got on that?
I already eliminated the flyer.
You eliminated the flyer?
Yeah.
Like 3 seconds ago. All right. Well, needless to say, it'll be a fun show. All tickets are just $20.
Yeah.
Show starts at 5. I got wind. They came into my office, the Golden Shower team of Jeffrey Excellence and John Trademark. I don't know if it slipped my mind or whatever, but somehow I forgot to put them on the card. So I said, either way, we'll get them in the show. We might have a kickoff match. So, you know, get there early, you know, 4:45, we'll have the match.
I'm just kind of, just kind of, I mean, literally, there was Golden Showers in your office. This is just the worst tag team name ever, man.
Hey, I didn't come up with it. I come up with the good names. Gods of War, 1%. You know, I think it's an Asian thing. I don't know. I think it has a different meaning than what you guys are talking about.
I hope so. Oh man. Anything else that we can say before we head out of here?
Now we got, big month of March. We got two huge shows. No Escape, always one of our biggest at the Silverton. And then March 28th, we are back, ground zero at the HyperX Arena. So we're really looking forward to that. We got some great things planned. Mania Week will happen 3 weeks after that. And we're putting together a wonderful bunch of events, at FSW, all day Wednesday, Thursday, there's going to be shows in both places. And Friday, probably the same thing, because they're negotiating with What Culture Wrestling, who's probably got one of the most, one of the biggest followings anywhere. They got over 2 million followers, I guess, for their YouTube channel. And they're negotiating with them about them doing a SmackDown watch party on the Friday night. And then hopefully our show with Cross immediately following. So we're looking at about, which is fine. We don't really want to run against Joey Janela's Spring Break at 7. And the idea is we would run a show at about 10 p.m., which on Friday night on the Strip, literally 5 seconds away from the Allegiant. And then we're looking for a Saturday night after Mania. Mania ends around 8:30, looking for another 10 p.m. start. Literally, if you think we ain't gonna have like 10,000 flyers, flooding the bridge, shit, I'm gonna go do my best to have Cross basically preaching on the bridge that takes you from Allegiant to the Strip. Come watch his show.
Like, can you have Kevin stand outside Allegiant and then just walk the whole pack of people who are coming out
There you go. It'll be like the Pied Piper. Yes.
Yeah.
We can have Kevin, and it's limited only to the first 500 people that are behind him can get into the arena
Right.
for the Cross show.
Right. Oh man. Well, again, big things going on. It's crazy right now, how much is happening, and it's not going to slow down.
And how good did your logo look on that dome, huh?
Dome's pretty sweet, isn't it? That's pretty
Yeah,
awesome.
totally. Yeah, that's the and they have so many selling points there, so it's like
Oh,
it's
just
just
looking at
fantastic.
and just looking at their control room there too, with all their it's mind blowing. It's like it's a television production center. It's
Yeah,
crazy.
for sure. 100%.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for coming out and making it a success. And the first of many to come. So, make sure you keep your ears peeled and come on out. And Title Match Network, of course, if you are not in town or can't catch Future Shock this Saturday. So
There you
then,
go.
happy wrestling, everyone.